our study of the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, which is divided really into three different lessons. Last week, or 2 weeks ago rather, we took the lesson 26 on the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. Today we will discuss the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And when we covered the lesson on the Holy Eucharist, the question is asked, what is the Holy Eucharist? And the answer was that the Holy Eucharist is a sacrament and a sacrifice. It is both a sacrament and a sacrifice. We know it is the sacrament in which Christ is contained, offered, and received. And you remember we explained how Christ is contained. He's present in order to be worshipped, visited in chapels as a proof of his love for us. He's offered to his Father in the Mass, and he's received in Holy Communion. So we can consider the Holy Eucharist under these three aspects. And today we will cover lesson 27 on the sacrifice of the Mass, the fact that Christ continues to reenact the sacrifice of Calvary, offering himself to his Heavenly Father. What is the Mass? The Mass is the sacrifice of the new law in which Christ, through the ministry of the priest, offers himself to God in an unbloody manner under the appearances of bread and wine. We know that in the Old Testament there were many sacrifices, and we also know that even among pagan nations there were sacrifices made to God or to whatever these nations considered to be a deity above them, because there is a basic human need or feeling of obligation to give to Almighty God some form of worship. And in the Old Testament, God commanded his chosen people to offer sacrifice, usually of animals. And that was the standard type of sacrifice, domestic animals that had been raised, giving this animal to God, the destruction of this animal in some way to show that God is the sovereign creator of heaven and earth and above us. And these sacrifices began, the first one we read about would be the sacrifice of Cain and Abel. Then we read that Noah, when he came out of the ark, made a sacrifice in thanksgiving to Almighty God for preserving him and also to appease the just wrath of God against the sins of the people that had just been destroyed. And we read of other sacrifices in the Old Law. But a sacrifice, once again, is the offering of a victim by a priest to God alone and the destruction of it in some way to acknowledge that he is the Creator and Lord of all things. So a sacrifice is an act whereby we show Almighty God we believe that he is the sovereign Lord of all things, of heaven and earth, and we're offering our homage to him. Again, there is a basic feeling of need in every human being to give to Almighty God some kind of worship. Indeed, religion is a sham, it is empty, if it has no form of sacrifice whatsoever. Since the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, which was foreshadowed and predicted by all of those sacrifices in the Old Law, all of those animals and all of those peace offerings, those victims, since the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, which is the perfect sacrifice, there is no other sacrifice pleasing to Almighty God. It would be unthinkable that since the time of Christ, someone would offer some sort of animal in sacrifice. Because Christ was the fulfillment of all of those imperfect sacrifices in the Old Law. The only sacrifice now, since the time of Christ, that is acceptable to God is the sacrifice of Calvary. And every day that sacrifice is perpetuated in the Mass. We know that the sacrifice of the Mass is the same sacrifice as that of the cross because, number one, the victim is the same. The victim is Christ. On the cross, our Lord was hanging there in his human form, the man God. At Mass, he is present under the appearances of bread and wine and offers himself to his Heavenly Father. So the victim is the same, Christ. And secondly, the priest who offers the victim is the same. On the cross, Christ offered himself to his Father. In the Mass, Christ, the priest, offers himself under the appearances of bread and wine to his Father. The Catholic priest, the ordained priest, is only there taking the place of Christ. The real priest at every Mass is Christ himself, offering himself to his Father. Now, the sacrifice of the Mass was predicted in the Old Testament by the prophet Malachi. And Malachi was talking about the Jewish nation, how eventually the Jews would be displeasing to God and they would lose the pleasure of God. They would lose the worth of their own sacrifices. He says, "I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will not receive a gift of your hand. For from the rising of the sun even to the going down, my name is great among the Gentiles. And in every place there is sacrifice, and there is offered to my name a clean oblation. For my name is great among the Gentiles, saith the Lord of hosts." In every place there is offered a sacrifice. Can you imagine before Vatican II, when at every moment of the day, Mass was going on all over the world, or somewhere in the world at any rate, hundreds, thousands of Masses being said continuously? That is why it was called the continual sacrifice, because there was not a second of the day when Mass was not going on somewhere in the world. So the sacrifice of the Mass then is a continuation of the holy sacrifice of Calvary, the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. The most important part of the Mass is the consecration, when Christ's body and blood become really present on the altar. The other two important parts of the Mass, or most important parts, are the offertory, at which the priest offers to God in the bread and wine, which are to be changed into the body and blood of Christ, and the communion, at which the body and blood of Christ, under the appearances of bread and wine, are received by the priest and sometimes also by the faithful. So those are the three essential parts of the Mass which make the Mass, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the offertory, consecration, and communion. Now, an important question. What are the purposes for which the Mass is offered? Why is the Mass offered? What are what we call the ends of the Mass? There are four ends of the Mass, four purposes for which it is offered. Number one, to adore God as our Creator and Lord. Second, to thank Him for His many favors. Third, to ask God to bestow blessings on all men. And fourthly, to satisfy His justice for the sins committed against Him, what we would call propitiation or reparation. These are four needs of human beings. We have an obligation to adore God, to worship Him, to thank Him, to ask for His help, and to make atonement. And these four ends are fulfilled in every Mass. It is interesting to note some of the examples that are given, and I'd like to read just a couple from a beautiful book called The Blessed Eucharist. And this book has a chapter on the sacrifice of the Mass. And he points out here how the Mass is a means of giving God worthy thanks for what He has given us. Two pious souls were one day discussing among themselves about the graces they had received from God. One of them complained of her inability to give due thanks to God for all she had received. The other smiled and said, "I give to God every day more than I ever received from Him." Now this answer naturally surprised the other, and she asked, "How is this possible?" "Oh," replied the latter, "I go to Mass every day and offer up Jesus Christ to my Heavenly Father for all the graces He has bestowed upon me. And Jesus Christ, the well-beloved Son of God, is certainly of greater worth than all the blessings which I have received or ever will receive." So the Mass is the only way that we could properly thank God or give Him back something for all He has given to us. The Mass is also a means of propitiation, atoning the wrath of God, excited against us by our own sins. And again, there's an interesting story given in this book. A nobleman named Alphonsus Albuquerque was once on the point of being shipwrecked. He had given himself up for lost, but happening to see a child crying near him on the boat, took it in his arms and raised it towards heaven, exclaiming, "Lord, if I do not deserve to be heard, at least hear the cries of this innocent babe and save us." No sooner had he uttered these words than the storm ceased and he was saved. Let us imitate his example. We are in peril. We have offended God and are in danger of losing our souls. Must we despair? No. Let us offer to God the divine infant in the Mass and say, "Lord, we have grievously sinned against Thee and are undeserving of pardon, but look on the sufferings of this Thy innocent Son and have mercy on us." Now, of course, the lay people do not offer the Mass. One of the errors of Vatican II, exaggerating the concept of the priesthood of the faithful. Well, the true Catholic Church uses that word, the priesthood of the faithful. You share in the priesthood of Christ through baptism, but that doesn't mean that the faithful can do what a priest does at Mass. Only an ordained priest can offer the Mass. But it is the will of God and of the Church that the faithful unite with the priest. And that is how you best attend Mass. Indeed, that is how you attend Mass, by forming the intention of uniting yourself with the priest. There's a story told about the Jesuits when they first were founded. The order was still young. And these Jesuit priests would travel all around Europe because this was the time of the Protestant Reformation, and they would preach. And there were a couple Jesuit priests who were traveling from one city to another to preach, and they had a layman that they had come across who wanted to go with them and help them out. And so he traveled with them every day, and he carried much of their baggage, etc. And they noticed this day after day. In the morning, they would make an hour of mental prayer, and then they'd pray the bulk of their divine office for the day. So they spent a couple hours, 2 even 3 hours of prayer every morning before they began the day's journey. And they just watched him, and he just sat in a corner and didn't move and just said nothing. And so they finally thought, we've got to ask him, what is he doing all of this time when we're praying? I wonder what's going through his mind. What is he thinking of? What is he doing? And they asked him, well, what are you doing during the time we're saying our office and making our mental prayer? And he said, well, I'm praying. They said, oh, what prayer do you say? And he says, well, I don't know what you do, and I've never been to school. I can't read or write, so I can't read the breviary, but I just say to God, whatever they're doing, me too. Whatever prayers they're saying, I want to do the same thing. So by his intention, he united himself with those two priests, and it was a beautiful prayer. And that's what you should do every day at Mass. When you go to Mass, you should tell Almighty God, whatever the priest is doing, I want to do the same thing. I want to unite myself in intention with the priest offering the Mass. And this is what is meant when the priest turns around and says, Orate fratres, pray, brethren, that your sacrifice and mine may be acceptable to God the Father Almighty. Not that the priest needs the people there. This is one more error of Vatican II, condemned by Pope Pius XII in his encyclical Mediator Dei, that if there's no congregation there, there's no purpose of having a Mass. Because, of course, they said the Mass is the meal, and you don't need a meal, you don't need a banquet if you don't have anyone there to eat it with. And so, in Vatican II, they just began omitting Mass, priests omitting Mass if all they had was a server, without any congregation. No, the priest doesn't need the faithful there, but we unite our feeble spiritual efforts, our daily sacrifices, our prayers, we unite them with the sacrifice of Christ, and then they're acceptable to God. Almighty God beholds the sacrifice of His dearly beloved Son, and He accepts everything that's offered along with it. So we offer ourselves, our intentions and petitions, all of our needs, and all of our efforts. On what does the measure of the fruits of the Mass depend? The measure of the fruits of the Mass depends chiefly on the merits of Christ, and also on the holiness of the priest who offers the Mass and the dispositions of those who receive them, who attend Mass. Every Mass is intrinsically the same value, just like the sacraments. The sacraments, when you receive a sacrament, you don't receive an amount of grace depending on how holy the priest is that dispenses the sacrament, because the merit of the sacrament derives from Christ. So if you, same with the Mass, if you attend a solemn high Mass, a simple high Mass, or a low Mass, every Mass is equal in value intrinsically. But the amount of grace you receive depends on your dispositions and your preparation, and to some degree on the sanctity of the priest. That is what we would call an accidental increase of grace, although the essential grace of the Mass is always going to be the same. How should we assist at Mass? We should assist at Mass with reverence, attention, and devotion. The best method of assisting at Mass is to unite with the priest in offering the Holy Sacrifice and to receive Holy Communion. We know that we offer the sacrifice of the Mass with the priest because after offering up bread and wine, the priest turns to the people and says, Orate fratres, pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Father Almighty. How can we assist most devoutly at Mass? We can assist devoutly at Mass by saying the rosary or prayers for Mass found in a prayer book, by singing hymns, but best of all by using a missal to follow the Mass with the priest. If you've never read it, I highly recommend this book, The Blessed Eucharist, and also a book by St. Leonard of Port Maurice called The Hidden Treasure. It's just a small paperback on the Mass. He gives in this book several different methods of attending Mass. Even though it is true, the Church says the best way is to follow the missal, unite with the priest, that doesn't mean you have to do that. If you find you're not having much devotion, then that's not the best method for you. Try another method. Sometimes it's good to alternate two or three different methods, because you know how we can get used to a routine and then it loses its value to us. So one of the methods that St. Leonard of Port Maurice gives is that you divide the Mass up into four sections. So like the beginning of Mass to the offertory, you will say prayers and make acts of adoration. Then offertory to the consecration, thanksgiving. Consecration to communion, petition, and then reparation or whatever. Divide up into the four ends of the Mass into the four parts, and then make those acts. And that way you're offering the Mass for those four ends. But there are different ways of assisting at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. The point is that we are deriving devotion. Sometimes people will come up and say, Father, I can't keep up with you in my missal. I'm trying to go through the prayers and I'm getting behind. Well, why worry about it? If you said one prayer and you're following along the first prayer of the canon or the second prayer and the priest is saying that prayer and the prayer strikes you, you derive fruit from that prayer, why worry about keeping up with the priest? Say it again slowly. Meditate on the meaning. The important thing about Mass is that we are deriving devotion and spiritual profit from the Mass. So if we turn it into a slavish thing where we just have to keep up with the priest and we have to read every word in English that he says in Latin, well, that's not the purpose of having a missal. It's to foster devotion. The priest says Mass every day, and obviously when you're saying the same prayers every day, there develops a facility where you say them more quickly. But keep in mind the important thing for you is the devotion. And I'm sure you've heard the story, we've repeated it often before, from that beautiful little book on the hidden treasure, which bears out how to attend Mass and how to derive profit. But the author of this book says that there was a woman who heard a sermon on the Mass, and she thought, I am going to go to Mass every day for a whole year. And this was her goal, every day for a year. So she had a little box, like a little piggy bank with a little hole in the top. And every day after she came home from Mass, she put a bean in the box. And she thought, at the end of the year, after the last Mass, I'll open it up and pour them out and I'll be able to count 365 beans. Just think of it. I'll go to Mass every day for a whole year. And so every day she did this. She put a bean in the box, and finally the last day came. She couldn't wait. She'd been looking forward to this for 2 months or longer. And so finally after the last Mass, she put the last bean in. Then she opened the top very expectantly. And what was her surprise to find only one bean inside the box? And she was just totally frustrated, just totally depressed. So she ran off to see the priest, and she explained the whole thing to him, what she was doing, and how on the last day, that very day, she had opened the box, and there was only one bean. Who stole my beans? And the priest said, the reason why there's only one bean in the box is because of all of those Masses, no doubt there was only one Mass that you really attended with a proper devotion and reverence and spirit of prayer. And he said, oftentimes I was vesting for Mass in my sacristy, and I saw you coming to church, looking all around, unrecollected, chatting with everyone you came across. You came into church haphazardly, distractedly. It was obvious during Mass you were distracted when I would turn around for the Dominus Vobiscum. You were kept looking at your watch. You couldn't wait to leave. The only goal you had in mind was just to be there, to have your 150 pounds or whatever you are sitting in a pew during the Mass, and then to leave afterwards. And that's not attending the Mass. So on one of those days, she had the proper devotion, and so there was only one bean left. So let us not be like that poor woman and end up at eternity finding after all these Masses we've attended, we have very few graces from them because it was more a routine. Make the Mass a devotion. Realize what it is. Calvary, all over again. If you could close your eyes and put yourself at the foot of the cross between our Blessed Mother and Magdalene and St. John, beholding our Lord, expiating, placating the wrath of His Heavenly Father for our sins, then you will realize what the Mass is. Then you will attend Mass with greater devotion and love and reverence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.